Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lincoln on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and the hot industry news relating to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now, here is your host of Lincoln on Lending, David Lincoln.
Welcome to the broadcast. It is February 11th, and it is a snowy parts of the Northeast. Wish you all well. Tony Garitano wrote me, says, I can't be on the broadcast, Dave. I'm digging out from another snowstorm. I think everyone in the Northeast has got to be buying a generator by now. If you don't know a generator and you live in the Northeast, you got to wonder about it. So anyway, generator sales are up. They were interviewing someone on Fox about that and on CNBC. It was hilarious. Anyway, we appreciate you joining the broadcast, and wherever you are at in the country, we pray and hope that you're doing well. It's good to have you with us. We had a huge audience last week, and literally blew up the switchboard on the number of people that dialed in. We're always trying to encourage our listeners to listen live by clicking on the website. It brings in so much more. We had so many, but we had over 10,000 people listening live last week on the topics that we were talking. So great. Go back and listen to that broadcast. It's always good. We appreciate also the fact that you are telling others about the broadcast and more of you are joining in. And it's good. It's a real honor to be a part of this. This is a public service of our consulting firm, and it's a public service of Joe and Alice that also join us in this effort. And we really appreciate you being part of it. We are very appreciative of United Guarantee being our newest and latest sponsor to the broadcast. They are doing an outstanding job of bringing back mortgage insurance products, and they're solid. They're out there. They've got some exciting programs and products to be talking about. If you do not know who your United Guarantee rep is, I strongly recommend you make a phone call and get a hold of me. I'll get you in touch with them. Also, I'd recommend you then also set up a meeting. They're off at a sales training meeting right now. They're going to be coming back all geared right up, ready to talk to you about what's going on. Great story. Go back and listen to the broadcast we did in December about the marvelous, amazing turnaround there at United Guarantee. Appreciate them being our sponsor, and we hope they have a great week down in Florida as they are gathering together this week for their sales contest. We've got also just to say a thank you to so many people that call us from time to time and let us know that they listen to the broadcast. I would like to hear from you, our listeners, about discussions. The topic we have today is talking about niche products. We're going to be having Michael Banner, who is one of the industry-leading individuals who's in reverse mortgage training. He's one of the top people as an educator. I should say he's an educator. It sounds better than a trainer. He is definitely recognized across the country as one of the top educators in the reverse mortgage. We're going to be talking about that niche product. Also, you got to stay tuned. We got Bill Coppedge coming on. A new announcement was just coming out. Some interesting developments in the secondary markets. Very encouraged. So we're going to stay tuned all the way through the broadcast as we get into some of the really exciting developments that are happening. But without further ado, let's get into talking about what's going on in the markets. Joe Farr, good to have you on the broadcast, as always.
Thanks, Dan.
What's happening in MBS prices? A little bit up, a little bit down?
Yeah, so far today we're just about unchanged from where we ended the day Friday. But we did open lower, and we've worked our way back just a bit. So, not a lot going on this morning.
It snowed in. The markets are snowed in.
Yeah. There's not much not much direction to it today,
much
anyway.
News either.
But I think it's a trend of something bigger. There's been very little direction, it seems, over the last few weeks. The trend has been a little lower, Dave, a little lower in prices, a little higher in rates. But just the last couple of days have been pretty interesting to watch, because both days had a significant movement in one direction, reversed middle of the day, and wound up being not much net movement for the day.
You talk about a V-shaped day, and it starts out, where it does, it drops or it moves one way or the other and heads back up. Is it mostly down dips in the midday, Jay?
No, it's been well. Take Friday for instance. Friday was a day that the markets moved lower following a little better than expected trade balance number. They fell about a quarter of a point, and we saw a substantial number of unfavorable price changes as a result of that movement. And then midday, they started improving again, and by the end of the day, they had fully recovered their morning losses, and favorable price changes were seen following that. Thursday, just the opposite occurred. I mean, similar in shape, but flip it upside down. First, favorable, and then unfavorable price changes were seen. You know, we had a jobless claims number and a little weak stock market helped push MBS prices higher in the morning. And then I believe it was a Fed Governor Evans came out in the middle of the day and hinted that his view was the bond buying program that Fed has would potentially end sooner than what people had in mind. You know, he used the term 6 months to 12 months, which is a good year short of what a lot of people are thinking. And that caused, both stocks and bonds turn around and move back lower. So, this movement to me is just an indication people don't quite know where to go with prices, where to go with rates. It's there's undue reaction to fairly minor things like the trade balance. Yeah, it's generally not a market-moving event, but this one came out, and it's so much better than expected. And because the trade balance is used in calculating GDP, in January when the first look at fourth quarter GDP came out, they had to use an estimate for the trade balance, and now the real number's there, and it's highly expected that the trade balance number is going to flip the GDP number from being a negative for the fourth quarter to being a positive for the fourth quarter. Now, it's not a big movement, but it's nice not to have a negative GDP. And, it was a positive number for it. So it was good to see. This week retail sales numbers come out on Wednesday, and that's really the most significant event on the calendar. It's one of the highly anticipated economic announcements. Not a lot else coming out this week.
But I know on that number on the retail sales, for those that use your service, they can go on and look at the anticipated number. What is the anticipated number on retail sales, Joe?
Well, both for the headline number, the full retail sales, and the retail sales ex auto, they're expecting a fairly small increase, one-tenth of 1%. That compares to last month of the headline number was a five-tenth increase, and the ex autos was a three-tenth increase. So a little bit of a slowing number for January. But it's a big event, and if that's a miss by much, it could really move the market in either direction, depending on which way the miss happens.
V-shape could look a little more pronounced on that day, one way or the other.
That's right. That's right. They've got the president's State of the Union address tomorrow evening. I don't know that that's going to be market moving, but it certainly will be interesting. And, the big things that next this week could be the Treasury auctions, because the 10- and the 30-year auction are on Wednesday and Thursday. So poor performance or exceptional performance there could move mortgage prices and therefore mortgage rates in either direction.
And any historical data that we can use to look forward to where the market, what we can anticipate, how these markets going? Have they been reasonably strong lately?
The Treasury auctions have been, each of the last couple weeks there have been Treasury auctions, it seems like there's been a week, an average, and a strong one.
Yeah, that's what I've been
thinking. So go figure. I don't know what that tells us.
No consensus.
No consensus, yeah.
Anyway, well, folks, if you want to have the most up-to-date information coming to you to your cell phone in every way possible, you got to sign up with a service that you get. MBS Quote Line is a great service. You can go over to the website, mbsquoteline.com. But even better, just stay tuned to this message and learn how you can get signed up. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Dave.
Appreciate it. We'll be right back after this brief word.
Economic uncertainty has created a tremendous amount of market volatility for the past few weeks. Intraday price changes seem the rule rather than the exception. Have you been surprised by a midday price change? Have you been frustrated as you locked a loan just ahead of a price movement?
Found it difficult to explain to a customer why the rate you quoted is no longer available?
MBS Quoteline can eliminate these frustrations.
MBS Quoteline monitors Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, and Ginnie Mae mortgage-backed security prices in real time. It makes the information conveniently available on your desktop, smartphone, or by email or text message. These are the same prices used to set mortgage rates each morning and to issue midday price changes when significant movement occurs. With MBS Quoteline, you'll never be out of touch with the market,
whether you're in the office or on the road.
See for yourself what MBS Quoteline can do for you. Go to MBSQuoteline.com to start a risk-free two-week trial.
MBSQuoteline.com.
646-716-4972. The Lickin' on Lending Show is back. Here is your host, David Lickin.
I tell you, I forgot to tell you at the top of the broadcast, we don't always have the doctor in the house, but we do this week, so you're going to want to stay tuned all the way through the broadcast, get some of the wisdom that we get from the doctor. You know what? Doctors are always so smart. Andy Schell is definitely one of the smart ones out there, so I can't wait to get his feedback in the next segment. Alice Alvey says to say hello to all our listeners. She is so sorry she can't be here. She is busily training out and about, and she tried to record a comment. So we all need to take a donation for Alice to get a new computer there so she can record it, because I'm mishearing her voice. Her perspective is always so good. But we have Bill Coppedge on the line, and he is here to share some breaking news and, of course, his regular update. Bill Coppedge, good to have you. How's the weather up in Chicago?
It's above freezing today, so now we have a lot of slush.
Oh, one of those slush days. I remember growing up in Minnesota, remember those slush days. Yep. So what's going on? What's the news that's on the radar for you that you write about? Again, everyone, he gets up at Oak Dark 100 and reads all this stuff and brings it to us so we don't have to go out and be searching it all. And if you sign up for his free service, you too can be a receiver of this. So what do you got for us today, Bill?
Okay. As we talked about before, I'm going to go over what I already had submitted to you to talk about, but then something else new came up this morning, and we'll get to that, you know, further on down in the show whenever you like. So let's go with what I already have. Two areas to discuss this week. The first thing to talk about are what I call regulator and legal threats. I have seen six different items that I want to share with you that are new threats to mortgage originators, and it makes me my head spin that all this has happened in the last 7 days. First, the New York Attorney General is going after a tiny bank saying that it lied about applicants. Not surprisingly, no mention is made of the big guys. In this article, it appears in the Naked Capitalism blog.
Oh, yeah.
Second.
Yeah.
No,
great
I mean,
blog,
you
know, by the way. Another great blog.
Okay. Obama appointed Richard Cordray as the head of CFPB during a congressional recess. And you're aware that the constitutionality of this is being challenged, and that all decisions made by the CFPB during that time period are being questioned. Credit Suisse blog reports that a first lawsuit has just come out challenging the CFPB decisions made during the recess appointment time period. So that's being challenged.
Wow.
Third.
Could be significant.
Mortgage. Well, it is. We'll see if there's more or if it holds up at the end of the day.
Right.
Next, mortgage servicing news reports on a forced placed insurance class action lawsuit charging deception, truth in lending, and RICO violations. And the lawsuit takes aim at servicers and special servicers. Okay, fourth, okay, remember the $8.5 billion settlement for foreclosure reviews?
Right.
This took originators off the hook. The Naked Capitalism blog has a series of articles about possible murky goings-on during the foreclosure review process. And then DS News, another great blog, reports that Congress is beginning to look at what was going on during the foreclosure reviews. So Congress could be causing a new series of headaches for the larger originators.
Interesting.
Fifth, Mortgage Crisis Watch is a legal blog. And they have an article about the $90 million repurchase settlement where Flagstar has to buy loans back from the MI company Assured Guarantee. This ruling implies that originators have a new source of repurchase risk coming at them from the MI companies. Okay, sixth is Housing Wire and Rob Chrisman of Mortgage News Daily both talk about a right of rescission legal ruling. Rights of rescission can be challenged for a 3-year period, but a new legal ruling can extend that beyond the three-year time period, you know, to a longer time. So just think of it. I mean, in the space of 1 week, I've shown six new regulatory and legal challenges for mortgage originators. And it makes me wonder why law firms and mortgage origination firms just don't go ahead and merge.
And, that's so funny.
I mean, if I had to do it over now, knowing
M&A,
what I know.
A new M&A movement here. Law firms are now just, oh, that's funny.
Dave, we should have been lawyers.
I know it. There's sometimes I think I am with the legal expert witness work we do. It's amazing. That's interesting.
Yeah. Then two more things real quick to gloss over affecting HARP. Okay, first up, Nick Timiraos of the Wall Street Journal has an article about a clarification in HARP rules where an originator can pay up to $2,000 for closing costs and fees. So presumably this money would come from the increased margins that they're making today on loans, and it might encourage a marginal increase in the amount of HARP loans that are modified. Okay, next, Barbara Boxer and Robert Menendez have a bill out to modify HARP. If delinquent homeowners make just three payments, they would be eligible for a permanent modification. The originator loves this because they're shielded from repurchase risk.
Yeah.
And OC Housing News notes that this would transfer the risk away from the banks and the originators instead to the taxpayer. So the banks and the originators get off the hook, but, you know, the taxpayer picks it up. And so if that passes, you know, the HARP party will go on for a while longer.
Yeah,
so there you go.
That's
six regulatory.
Amazing.
Okay, what now?
I said that's amazing. That six regulatory issues in 7 days and then these developments here. It's just
on HARP.
On HARP, yeah. I mean, so, I mean, amazing. I mean, again, the HARP has been the benefactor of the HARP programs has really been the bigger banks anyway. The most originators did not get to participate in the degree that they had hoped, I suspect. Well, in fact, that's what I've heard. So your thoughts on that?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's one of the reasons, too. I mean, look at the margins that mortgage bankers are making now. I mean, they're making 4 and 5 points on a loan. And most of my career on the street, when I was working at, you know, large Wall Street firms, you know, covering, you know, pipeline hedging and stuff like that, if a secondary desk made a half a point, they were kissing the ground, you know, thanking the Lord above.
Yeah.
Now, because of all the government stuff, they're making 4 or 5 points. Now, some of them will argue with you that they have higher costs and things now, and they do. There's a lot more regulation.
No question.
But they're still making bunches more money, you know, than they were before.
There's no question about that, and if you're not making that kind of money, you got to call the profit doctor, get him in there. But I want to move on. This is great, great information. Again, like Alice reports all the time, it's just a staggering amount of what we're tracking and the number of changes. And then you're bringing in another dimension of all that's changing. We appreciate you doing that, Bill. But there's something that just popped up in your radar that I believe you said that Rob Crispin wrote about in his blog. And would love to have our listeners hear about this. So let's get right into that.
Okay, let me tell you guys first about Rob Crisman. I don't know if you know him. I've known him for 25 years. He's a great guy.
Great guy.
And he started off at Tuttle & Company, you know, doing pipeline hedging for a number of mortgage companies. When I first met him, he now writes a daily email for originators. More than 50,000 people read this. And if you're not reading this right now, you're missing out. And you need to go over to Mortgage News Daily. That's where he is. And type in his name, Rob Crisman, C-H-R-I-S-M-A-N, and you'll see how you can sign up to get messages from, you know, what he writes every day. This was in what went out this morning. And this is, I had to do a little detective work. And what I'm about to tell you is conjecture. This is not 100% certain, but it makes a good-sounding story. Okay, all right, picking up on what he wrote. ClearPoint Funding, which is, you know, we think it's in Arizona, but again, a company called ClearPoint Funding sent their clients a note saying, effective today, and this was back on February the 4th, the following products are suspended until further notice. So they're stopping taking in conventional ARMs, jumbos, FHA, VA, and USDA guaranteed rural housing. Okay, well, conventional ARMs, I mean, there's hardly any of that originated, so that doesn't matter. Jumbos, I'm not sure why. But the biggie is FHA, VA, and USDA.
Right.
Now, they did not mention that they were stopping buying Fannie and Freddie fixed rate, because that's a lot of business. Now, why would they do that? Well, it further goes on to say that on the same day, ClearPoint introduced a 97 LTV primary residence loan. So it looks like they stopped doing FHA and VA because they now have some private money that's willing to do 97 LTVs.
Interesting.
And so I went to the guy in our company here at Faith Servicing because we were building up our own mortgage originator, and this guy was a mortgage company president for many years. And I show this to him, and I go, what do you think it is? And he smiled and said, well, it looks like the private market is coming back. The thing is that the FHA now has jacked up their insurance premiums
so much. And reported also, to be doing it even more, even in the future.
Well, they're going up another 10 basis points on April 1. Like a 90, over 95 LTV is going to go from 125 to 135 basis points. Plus, this time around, too, you know, it used to be that once you got your LTV down to 78, you could stop paying the mortgage insurance. Okay, now it's forever. You have to pay that 135 basis points forever. So we are now at the point that the cost structure is such that private money is beginning to think, and again, this is conjecture, private money is beginning to think, hey, we can do this cheaper than FHA. If you also think about it, too, if you were going to do this, if you wanted to have a program, I would have to think that this is somewhat a bet on housing price stabilization. I mean, we've seen a lot of news about that coming out. So over time, if you know, housing prices start going up, that 97 LTV is going to go down. But again, it's interesting that private money is beginning to come in. So these guys at ClearPoint, it appears, want to run, you know, don't want to do FHA anymore. And so the pricing they're getting on these 97 LTVs has to be probably somewhat more aggressive than what FHA is. Otherwise, why do it? That's
why do it. Yeah. I'd love to get that's a great story, and I want to get the significance of it. I want to bring in Andy Schell and the Profit Doctor as well as Joe Farr, get some thoughts on that, and then as we talk about this, because this is a significant – this could signal a significant development. I know you said it's conjecture, but just the fact that someone is exiting a program at the same time they're announcing a new free markets or a private markets product, that is a significant development. Andy Schell, what's your thoughts of this?
Well, I think one of the key elements we need to look at is what's the credit criteria, because a 750 FICO on a 97% in a stable market like Austin, Texas, would be a good loan, whereas a, you know, a 640, which you, or 680, which you might get in through FHA in a 97 in Reno, might be a bad deal. So there's more to it. I think that the fact that you're seeing a 97% product coming about that's a non-government sponsored product is great news, and it makes sense to me. I mean, you might as well. Strong customers, strong market. I mean, the LTV isn't the only factor to consider for sure.
Yeah, and the fact that we have house stabilization pricing, that's a soundbite I'm going to use on Fox or on CNBC the next time I go on. I'm going to give Bill the credit, but I like that. And that's a factor that's kind of making it, okay, we're not going to see the collateral most likely take another hit. Joe, your thoughts?
Well, it just takes the government to make it as bad as it can be in order for somebody else to come in and be able to make money at it. And I find that the, you know, I mentioned this earlier, that it's ironic to me that the private sector is still obligated to suspend insurance, mortgage insurance, after they get to 78%. But now the federal government is going to make it stay for the life of the loan. So,
that's a
big issue. It's just they're just making it bad enough to encourage others to come in.
Bill, this is what we've been wanting, is the free markets to come back in. And I really appreciate that point that one of your associates said, the free markets are back and working. Do you see that this is what are some of the other data points we should be looking for to really validate that this is more than conjecture, that we're really seeing that this is happening?
I think you're just going to have to look at all the different, you know, a lot of people look at Case-Shiller, but you have to realize that's only like the 20 largest cities.
Right.
And Freddie has a housing price number, but it's nice because it's a blend of the entire country. So it did not have as much of a swing up. But, you know, and most of these places now, I mean, you know, housing prices has come off enough that they are down cheap enough that buying a house right now really is a much better deal than it's been in a long time.
It's fascinating.
I would look at the lagging number, like the Freddie number, to see what's happening. But, you know, it does look like most of these things are beginning to at least begin to stabilize out. I mean, yeah, in Vegas, of course, they're going up huge because that's all specs and rental buyers. But,
right,
you know, the rest of the country is not Las Vegas.
Bill, now, last week we reported that, not we, but the National Association of Home Builders put out a report indicating that I think it was just about 70% of 361 metro regions are showing an improvement in the real estate part of their the region, and so that's pretty widespread. That's up from 12 regions a little over a year ago.
I think it's going to be fascinating to be certain where we're at on this thing. But the reality is that as it comes to new programs and developments like this, what's really fascinating about this for me is Carol Gallant, the commissioner of FHA, and Sean Donovan have all been trying to figure out how to get their market share down. The fact that they have increased the insurance premiums and have another bump coming here shortly, it appears that it's beginning to work and that we hope that this is the beginning of a new trend. But here you hear it. You read it on Rob's report. I read it regularly. I'd like to say I read it almost every day, but it is my intent to read it every day. It's great blog.
Well, Dave, the critical thing there is how deep is that secondary market?
Yes.
We know that there's a worldwide demand for Ginnie Mae's and Fannie and Freddie securities, but you know, wherever these loans are going to go, how deep is that demand?
Well, here's someone else I think you ought to be watching, because I watched them set this company up, and they have been buying loans, but I think they're just biding their time and waiting their place. There's a company called New Penn, like Pennsylvania Financial.
Yeah, we know them well.
And
they were a sponsor of our rating program.
It's basically Lou Ranieri, the godfather of mortgage-backed securities, you know, one of the legends of Salomon Brothers back in the day, and he's done many other innovations. And, you know, they have been sitting right at the edge wanting to do edgy stuff that, you know, that just fall outside of what the government is, if it makes sense. So I bet you're going to be hearing their name more and more on stuff like this, too.
We're going to actually go get them back on the radio program. I had them as a guest a while back. And we're going to have them back as we're going to focus on some of these niche products, some of these encouraging developments. Bill Coppedge, thank you so much for taking time out of your slushy Monday morning up there in Chicago and joining us. I really appreciate this stuff, Bill. This is so important. And so many of our listeners are commenting. They said, David, just there's so much information that comes across your broadcast each Monday. We really appreciate it. And I want to say thank you, Bill, for making a very huge, valuable contribution to this. Now, you can read more about this, Bill, and tell our listeners where they can go to listen or to read and click through to get your a full written report on what you talked about here today.
Well, Dave, at the beginning of the show, you said that your telephone lines were melting last week because too many people were calling in.
Yes.
But if they go to the Lickin on Lending website, LickinOnLending.com website, they're going to click the show, which they can hear at any time in very good clarity. They can download it. You know, they can do whatever they want. On the page where the show is, if you look over on the right, you'll see me looking back at you, along with face servicing my employer and my blog. If you click that, you will see all the stuff that I talked about today and the links that if you actually want to read the articles themselves and to go into greater depth.
That is great. Greet our friends there at Face Servicing. Appreciate you so much taking time, Bill, for being a part of it. We'll be right back after this brief word with our special guest, Michael Banner. Stay tuned. Right back.
Mortgage Banking Solutions is the preeminent management consulting firm to the residential mortgage lending industry. No other firm in the U.S. offers the menu of services or the level of expertise to the industry.
If you're looking for help converting from best efforts to hedging, or need help with bookkeeping to know your profit per loan,
if you are interested in making the transition from broker to banker, or if you just need a roadmap for success,
Mortgage Banking Solutions' primary focus is to enable executives to take their business to the next level and guide them down a path towards success and profitability. With over 300 combined years of experience in all facets of mortgage lending, the Mortgage Banking Solutions team of professionals has the expertise and know-how to help you accomplish your goals. New warehouse lines of credit,
broker to banker transitions, transitioning to hedging, financial and accounting services, or meeting your capitalization needs.
If you need help with these or any other aspects of your business, please contact our Mortgage Banking Solutions sales team to see how we can help you at 512-977-9900. That's 512 877-9900. Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level.
Welcome back to the broadcast. So we've got the Profit Doctor with us. I said we were going to Michael Banner. We are. But we've got to get some wisdom imparted to us from the Profit Doctor. And you know, it's good to have you with us, Andy. And I know you've been traveling around the country, and I do appreciate you making the time to join the broadcast. And there's so much information. Folks, one of the reasons we get together, when Andy and I get together, we have lunch or dinner or something like that, I ask him, what's the latest book you're reading? What's about? There is so much information in this guy's head, and he just, you know, kind of starts talking, and I go, would you just share some of that with our listeners? So I'm going to go to you, Andy, and look at, I mean, I'm looking at CFPB. I'm looking at some of the things that are going on there. I'm looking at, and I did get a specific request today from an email as I was scanning in some text messages from people. And our listeners, you can text me in the midst of a broadcast. Anything you text me, I'll put up and I'll comment on if we can possibly fit it in. My phone number, cell phone number is 512-632-2900. Send me a text to that. It pops up right here on my desk. So someone asked me about the call report. They were struggling with it, and they wanted an update on that because that particular person, Andy, just shifted from one company to another, and he brought up that call report because he's a listener to Lickin' on Lending and heard you talk about the call report. And these people great. Had the deer in the headlights look. They go, call report? That's not a – he did not feel good about his move to this new employer when he got that response. You can only imagine why. So share with us some of your wisdom that you have for us today.
Well, I can hit 2 points then, Dave. I'll start with a call report. And obviously, if you have the foundation of your company capturing the details correctly, the fees, every fee off the HUD one, loan-level accounting, full fee accounting for every single loan, going into your accounting system and all the payroll and all that payables, all that stuff being tracked, all the transactions by every originator, which you have to do to run a mortgage company. If you don't do it that way, you're not going to be able to do the call report correctly.
Right.
So if this new company has an accounting system that can do those things, then it's just a matter of taking those financials that come out, generate the call report. It's fairly straightforward. If, however, they don't have that level of accounting detail, they're going to have it. There's no way around it. There's no shortcuts. There's no other way to do it except for capturing all the fees off the HUD one on every single loan and all the commissions that are paid and every loan that's originated. That's what it takes to run a business. We've been talking about that as the way of capturing data for years and years and years. Well before the CFPB call reports came out. If you want to run your business right, you have to know your profit per loan, your profit per branch, your profit per originator, your profit by product, and you can't know that without doing loan level total fee capture accounting. And so that's what we've been talking about. If you do that, you'll know your business well, and you can do the call report.
You can.
And now the other thing I want to mention, though, Dave, is this was an observation the other day, and it's about efficiency and optimization. So this is efficiency and optimization. And what was happening is, without going into too many details, but the short of it is I was driving through a neighborhood and saw a moving van with a guy with a big dolly carrying five boxes into the moving van. And I thought, you know, if I were to be the moving van guy, I would probably be carrying those boxes one at a time. And I would hurt myself, I'd probably fall, I'd drop the box, break the contents, and all kinds of bad things would happen. But this one guy had a dolly, and this one dolly made it so that he was able to stand up straight, didn't hurt himself, was able to carry five boxes at once instead of one. So what I think we need in mortgage banking is we need lots of dollies. Because if you think about the moving van dolly, it's you have an expert, a professional mover that knows how to lift with your legs, not with your back. You have the right tools, which is the dolly, and the right skills, because you know you got to tilt it back at 45 degrees, not too far because it gets too heavy, or not too forward, or it'll fall forward. So there's a degree of skill associated with this, if you think about it. It's not a high skill level, but there is a degree of skill. So every company needs the right person driving the right tools with the right skills, and that's part of what the industry is going to need. The mid-sized players, the smaller mortgage companies, are going to have the support from one of our things that we offer, the CFO2Go product. The CFO2Go comes in and makes certain that you have the stuff to be able to do your call report correctly. We also have a CIO, Chief Information Officer product, where we come in and make sure all your systems are running right, because you can't have a good accounting system running with the appropriate interfaces without all the technology fitting together and doing all it's supposed to do. And I think the thing that we're kind of noodling about, Dave, that we haven't officially done yet, but I think the opportunity in the market is to have a CCO to go,
yes.
a chief compliance officer.
Yes.
Because we've been focused on financials, we've been focused on technology because everybody has to have that. Well, now you've got to have compliance too. So how this actually comes to pass will be determined in the future. We'll see where it all goes. But I think that there is a market for a outsourced CCO, chief compliance
CCO.
Officer to go. Because
yep.
one of the key points, and I'll wrap up here, Dave, one of the key points I think that an outsourced chief compliance officer can do is, one, obviously with policies and test the policies, make sure they're done right, review the process, make sure things are running right. But I think really the key about having the outsourced compliance officer is that they'll be able to bring best practices because they're going to be doing this for a lot of other companies. It's not just one person who works for one company that's doing what's there. It's someone who works for 10 companies doing the same thing for 10 different companies and make sure all of them do the very best they can. So anyway, that's a future opportunity. We'll see where as we're talking about, Bill was just talking about all these new things that are happening. Well, I think one of the ways in order for this to keep up with, mortgage companies are going to need compliance officers. And frankly, there aren't enough. So rather than hire someone who's not qualified, rent somebody 10 hours a week, 5 hours a week, who can
come in
and do the stuff that needs to be done.
I think I know a company that could do that.
Well, we'll see.
Us. Well, we'll find out. Anyway, appreciate it, Prof. Doctor, being with us. It's good to have you in the house, and I think we're just going to just continue to draw on all that wisdom, and hopefully you'll be able to be with us a little more than you have in the past. So good to have you back in the house, my friend.
Thanks, Dave. Pleasure as always.
Always. All right, folks. We're going to be right back with our special guest, Michael Banner, after this brief break.
In today's climate, quality counts more than ever, and Wetzel's Trot can help your company maintain the quality that you require to survive in an ever-changing market. With over 450 customers across the country, Wetzel's Trot has specialized in quality control reviews for residential lenders since 1985. Wetzel's Trot can assist your organization in maintaining a high standard of quality within your residential mortgage operation. They offer a wide variety of services, including loan quality control, servicing quality control, quality control plans, fraud review services, and even web-based quality control software. Quality is never an accident. It is always the result of high intention, sincere effort, intelligent direction, and skillful execution. Choosing Wetzel Trot represents the wise choice of many alternatives. Contact Wetzel Trot today for details at 248-592-2252. Wetzel Trot, the single source solution for your quality control needs. And now, broadcasting live from Austin, Texas, we're back with the Lincoln on Lending Show.
Appreciate you being with us, everybody. We have our special guest talking about a niche product that many are hearing about. I don't know about you, but I turn on the television, I hear about reverse mortgage this. And I go, I thought that product was going away. Well, our next guest, Michael Banner, founder of the American SE Institute and one of the national education leaders. He's the national education director for Security One Lending in the mortgage industry, is with us, and he has educated over 3,000 financial professors. Advisors. I'm sorry, he is the professor of this. He publishes regularly in Reverse Review. Welcome to the broadcast, a friend and someone I've known for a long time. Honored to have him as a friend and now as a guest on the broadcast. Michael, good to have you here.
Thank you so much, Mr. Lickin.
Mr. Lickin stuff. Cut that out. Don't go there, man. We're not going to go there. But once again, we're seeing more news about reverse mortgages. And one of the things, we received a number of requests, and the reason I wanted to have you on and kind of rush you into the sequence of broadcasts here is because we're having a number of our guests going, as the market contracts, what should I be getting into? And we're going to go get New Penn Financial on. I'm going to, again, try to get some of the others. And if you guys, our listeners out there, know of other niche products that are starting to develop, we want to hear about it and bring it to it. We'll bring them on the broadcast, talk to them about it, and let everybody hear about it. But, Michael, there have been a lot of changes in the reverse mortgage world, and most currently there's been the elimination by, I think it's HUD, eliminated the traditional fixed-rate product. And we look at some of the changes, and I thought this industry, the reverse mortgage origination niche product, was kind of going away. With all this negativity that's out there, how is it going to impact this product?
Well, actually, losing the fixed rate is a little bit of a blow to the industry. The traditional fixed rate was definitely our most popular product. There's different figures out there that most people figure or agree that it was about 70% of our business. But quite frankly, those of us that have been in it for a while know that the fixed rate reverse mortgage only came to us in 2007. This mortgage has been around for four decades. The fixed rate product is fairly new to us, and we always were an adjustable industry. Believe it or not, this is not going to have such a deep or bad effect on reverse mortgages, because our adjustables are amazingly stable, and we still do have a fixed rate option.
Well, hey, Michael, it's Andy Schell. Great to have you on the show. I have a quick question.
Sure.
Why did HUD feel that such a dramatic step, you know, eliminating this most popular product, was necessary? What was their thinking?
Well, just like you were talking about in the first segment of the show, and boy, did I enjoy listening to the first segment of the show. I learned a lot. When FHA announced the negative in the billions, what was it, $2.8 billion of the MIP fund, a lot of things were discovered when they drilled down. We've always known that the reverse mortgage world is roughly about 2% of the entire FHA world. For those of the listeners that don't know, the HECM, the Home Equity Conversion Mortgage, commonly known as the reverse mortgage, is an FHA-insured product. But although we make up for 2% of the market, we made up for a much larger percentage of that $2.8 billion default. And you would think, because it's negative values, things go down, people are upside down in their house, but it wasn't. As HUD further drilled down, it was defaults on taxes and insurance, because as you know, there's no payments for the rest of your life. And when they further drilled down, they discovered 70 to 80% of those defaults were when people took a fixed rate and took the lump sum money and put it in their bank account. They may have only needed $1,000 or $1,500 a month. That's the purpose of getting the reverse mortgage, but somehow they were either convinced, or they convinced themselves by taking the whole lump sum and putting it in their bank account, it would be more convenient. And what happens, I think, with anybody at any age, you have, you know, suddenly a few hundred thousand in the bank, you start to draw upon it, suddenly it doesn't last as long as you expected, and what's the first thing you stop doing? You already don't have a mortgage payment, so, well, let's not pay our taxes. And that was the reason for this very dramatic move. We think that we're going to be solving our part of the problem with the MIP fund by doing this.
Wow, very good. Interesting.
Joe? I want to make sure that we have you join in on this discussion.
There I am. Sorry about that.
Oh, that mute button. Darn
what help me understand, Michael, what rates are available? You said that there's there are ARM rates, but you also just mentioned a fixed rate. So what are available out there on reverse mortgages?
First and foremost, for your listeners, the fixed rate traditional reverse mortgage doesn't go away till March 31st. Excuse me. So we still have about six more weeks to pull case numbers. And our FHA fixed rate on a traditional fixed is in the low fours. It's been there for a long time. It hasn't moved. Our adjustables for our traditional product are in the twos. We have a 250-point margin, and we're always based on LIBOR, never T-bills. So we have very low and very stable adjustable rates. But in October of 2010, HUD introduced an entirely different reverse mortgage, which a lot of people are not aware of. It only makes up a small part of our business. But they're called the HECM Saver, S-A-V-E-R. And the HECM Saver was created really and truly to attract the higher net worth clients, whereas the traditional reverse mortgage really and truly attracts the needs-based product, or I should say the product of last resort. You know, mom and dad or grandma and grandpa are broke. I think we better get a reverse mortgage. That seems to be our clientele. Well, that transition, we're evolving away from that. The HECM Saver lends the people a little less money than the traditional HECM, but instead of 2.25 points up front, like you were just talking about, for MIP, it's a fraction of that. It is actually a reverse mortgage that is priced like a Fannie Mae mortgage. And although they're removing the traditional fixed rate March 31st, the HECM Saver has an excellent fixed rate product, also in the low fours. So fixed rate's not going away. It's just going to be a different product.
Well, what's the you said there's a different amount you can borrow.
Yes. Basically, as a rule of thumb, with a reverse mortgage across the country, if you take the age of the youngest borrower, let's say dad is 65 and mom is 62, because you have to be at least 62 to do this. If you take the age of the youngest borrower and you minus 8, I know that sounds ridiculous, but that's what it is. Mom is 62. 62 minus 8 is 54. We will lend on a traditional reverse mortgage 54% of the value of the house. The older you are, the more we lend. We're using a very young senior, 62 years old, for this scenario. So that's a traditional reverse mortgage. The lowest age of the couple, minus 8. In a HECM saver, you use that same formula, but instead of the age of the lowest borrower minus 8, it's closer to 15 to 18% lower. So instead of lending that 62-year-old 52%, we'd be closer to lending them about 40%. So we're giving less. FHA has less of a loan-to-value, and, of course, that greatly diminishes the chances of anybody making a claim on the MIP. It's a very strong product.
And that maximum loan amount is set at the time you originate the loan. It doesn't go up as you grow older, does it?
Well, if you take the line of credit, yes. I'm so glad you brought that up. This is an inflation hedge on a reverse mortgage that has not been given its just reward in the press, or definitely not by our detractors. When you take a line of credit in any reverse mortgage, that line of credit, the outstanding balance that you still have, or I should say the outstanding limit that you haven't used, that is raised every year by a rate of whatever your debt service is plus 50 bips. So in other words, if you took a $200,000 line of credit, and let's say you used $20,000 of it the first year, and in that first year your rate was, let's say, 3.5, let's just take a good number, because that's about what it is today. So you took a $200,000 line of credit, you used $20,000, at the end of the year, you have $180,000 still available. Your rate was 3.5, add 50 bips to that, that's 4. They're going to take that $180,000 that's still available and increase it 4%, which 4% of $180,000 is $7,200. You actually gained $7,200 in borrowing power, whether your house went up or down. It makes no difference. It's an incredible inflation hedge in case rates do go up.
Well, there's a lot of detail to this, isn't there? There's a lot of nuance, and it's good that you're an expert in this and able to help people through all of it. You referenced the Saver program a minute ago, and
yes.
I think I followed it, but I wasn't completely clear. So why was the Saver program created?
The Saver program was created, quite frankly, because our industry was trying to knock on the door of the financial planning industry. And most financial planners came back to us. I'm very active in the Financial Planning Association of America. And most financial planners, quite frankly, came back to us before the HECM Saver and said, look, our clients are worth X. Their homes are free and clear. They're never going to need a reverse mortgage. It's too expensive up front. It is really a needs-based product. And although I would have disagreed with them at that time, you also cannot deny that until 2010, the reverse mortgage probably had the most expensive upfront closing costs of any mortgage all of us have ever seen. It just can't be denied. But in 2010, those closing costs were slashed to be more in line with a normal FHA loan. And then the addition of the HECM Saver, which, again, loans a little less, but really leans itself towards the client, I would say, that has a net worth between $1 million and $2 million, and his biggest single asset is his home. And if he does want to tap into that equity for a specific purpose, whether to fund a long-term care policy, fund a life insurance policy, you'd be amazed how many people right now are funding reverse mortgages to help their children and grandchildren out of messes. So there is still that low-cost option with very little MIP available for the wealthier that really never considered a reverse mortgage, and now they are.
Well, you clearly have very deep knowledge in this topic, and I just have a couple of more questions. pick your brain on this a little bit. The purchase reverse mortgage seems to be gaining more traction, at least in the last half of this past year. Oh, why is that, and do you see that continuing?
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt about that. That's one of my golden rings. I love the H4P, the HECM for purchase. And it's almost kind of sad. It's ironic. The worse things get in the country, the more popular this product becomes. But it is a program that was introduced in early 2009. Excuse me. That is specifically designed for realtors and builders to sell homes to people 62 and above. And of course, I live here in Florida, as Dave knows, in the retirement capital of the world. And let me give you a great scenario. Somebody sells their house up north and moves down here. And let's say they sold their house for $600,000 up north. Keeping in mind that depending on where they were up north, when they planned their retirement a few years ago, they were probably planning on selling that house for $1 million before the bubble burst. Now they sold it for $600,000, a little less than they expected, several hundred thousand less in their retirement accounts, but that's okay. The house is free and clear. Let's go to Florida. Let's retire. Let's do it the American way and actually buy a house for $600,000. We sold our previous house for $600,000. We'll buy a new one for $600,000. We will have no payments during retirement. But meanwhile, when they get down here, again, selling their house for several hundred thousand dollars less than they expected, getting record low rates of returns on their CDs, their annuities, their savings, God knows the losses they took in their 401Ks or their IRAs, and they look at this $600,000 house, and their financial planner says, wait a minute, you're 65 years old. Why don't you put 40% down on that $600,000 house, $240,000? The first thing the client says is, no, then I'm going to have a $360,000 mortgage, and I don't need the debt service. No, this is a purchase reverse mortgage. You will have no payments, no principal and interest payments, for as long as you live in that house, both you and your wife. So let's see the net result. They bought the $600,000 house that they wanted. They have their dream retirement home. The financial planner has met their goal of having no payments in the for the rest of their lives. And do they not have an extra $360,000 in liquidity? Because they didn't spend it. It's a life-changing thing. Financial planners and heavyweight real estate agents are wrapping their arms around this like you can't believe. And we actually have in my school, the American CE Institute, the only class in the country that is being offered by Realtor University to the 1.2 million members of NAR, the National Association of Realtors. It's a three-hour class teaching real estate agents about the purchase reverse mortgage, and it is starting to explode this last 6 months.
Wow. Well, you just mentioned the financial planners being more involved now and seeing this as a benefit in that purchase reverse mortgage product you're describing. Sounds like just a great idea. And I know we're going to have to accelerate, and Dave's going to have to jump in here again as we look at the clock ticking by. But I did want to ask you about financial planners, because it seems like in the past financial planners haven't been completely supportive of reverse mortgage products, even potentially shunning the product. And now it seems like it's being considered. Why has that transition occurred?
Well, again, so many seniors are living through what we all consider, again, the perfect storm. Their plans for retirement ruined by the bubble bursting the last few years. But what really did it for us, and it was just a godsend for us, is midway through last year, two very, very well-known national financial planners, tenured professors and authors, Harold Davinsky and John Salta, most financial planners do know their name, they were actually contracted or hired by MetLife, who is no longer in the reverse mortgage industry, but then they were, to do a very, very intensive study. And point blank, we're asked the question, since the financial planning world was still shunning us, and these two men carry considerable weight in that industry. And they were asked and paid well to answer this question. Is this a needs-based product? Is it just a product of last resort? Or is it a retirement planning tool? And they literally did an incredibly exhaustive study that has been published through FPA using over 1,000 different examples on how using a LIBOR adjustable reverse mortgage can take someone's portfolio ranging between $750,000 and maybe $1.5 million, and instead of continually drawing from that portfolio when it's having such small returns, when much of it is in stocks that you have to sell at a loss, instead of doing that from your portfolio, take the money out of a small reverse mortgage. And the effect it has on making that portfolio last for years to come was staggering. And suddenly, almost overnight, the Financial Planning Association said, wait a minute, the mortgage people like Mike Banner have been telling us this for a while, but we're not paying any attention to them. But when Harold Ivinsky said it and Mr. John Salter said it, we better start paying attention. So it really has been a pleasure this last 6 months. We are seeing the reverse mortgage evolve, you know, from that product of last resort into a true retirement planning tool, and all these changes are making it even better.
Hey, Mike, real quick for the audience, am I correct in understanding? I know in Texas, that's where I am, that we're not allowed to do purchase HECMs, and we're working on that in the legislature, and anyone in Texas listening, if you can help, get in touch with the Texas Mortgage Bankers and try to figure out how we can help get the legislature to make that available for us. But isn't it true that it's available for purchase transactions across the country besides Texas?
49 states, except for the great state of Texas.
All right. And then I just have to throw out that it's such a natural product, it seems, given, you know, you got baby boomers selling big houses, buying into small houses, but wanting to maintain liquidity or using the reverse aspect of it. I mean, it's just a natural product, it seems, right now.
It really is, especially those yuppies. I know we're a little short on time, Dave, but 10,000 people a day since January 1st, 2011, are turning 62. You know, they're getting ready for retirement, and quite frankly, they're not like our parents. They made more money than their parents, but they have less money than their parents. And quite frankly, the HECM purchase might be the only way they can live their retirement without a house payment. It's an incredible product.
Well, also, we got MetLife in there. I'm looking at the clock. I don't want to talk about the book you just published because you have a real sensitivity to seniors. In fact, you just published a book on that. But MetLife's in it in a big way. Anyone else that you guys are buying that? Your company is buying this product, right?
Yeah, our company, actually, MetLife is gone, Dave. They left in July of last year, much to everybody's surprise. They were the number one reverse mortgage company, retail and wholesale, in the country. And they left midway through last year. And we're very, very proud that right now Security One Lending is, in fact, the largest reverse mortgage company in the country. And we've adopted this education business model of offering CE classes to real estate agents, long-term care providers, financial planners. We're learning that once we educate these professionals on this product and get rid of all that misinformation out there, they're wrapping their arms around it. It's been a very exciting year for Security One Lending.
That's good. We know Tory Larson real well. He's an old friend of mine from San Diego.
What a great man. Absolutely.
What a great guy. And his brother's involved in that, believing it with him on that. So we're going to get to your contact information in just a minute. But you have just published a book that honors that generation, the greatest generation ever lived. And you just published. Give us a quick, in 1 minute, give us a soundbite and how we can learn more about or how they can go pick up this book. I love this book. It's a great book and a real tribute to your dad, but really to that whole generation.
Yes, and I'll do it in less than a minute, I promise. I was blessed with having just such an incredible father. We were best friends from the time I can remember until we lost him, and he lived with me the last several years of his life. Just taught me so much, just lived a life that was really good and imparted, I think, some good morals and ethics onto me and my children. My children were blessed to have their papi around for a very, very long time. And actually, as I was writing his eulogy of all his rules, I did just come to realize they really weren't his rules. They were the greatest generation rules.
Yeah, they were.
Keeping your word and many things like that. So I put together, a very lighthearted book, but it seems to be bringing a tear to a lot of people's eyes. It's called A Gift from My Father, and it's about the rules that he lived by and most of his greatest generation friends lived by. And when we look about what's going on in this country today, a lot of people have a habit of blaming the left or blaming the right. I blame that we kind of lost a little bit of our morality, and I'd love to see everybody go back to our parents' morality for a little while.
Yeah, if you want to learn more about the book, you can go to our website, Lincoln on Lending. Click on today's broadcast. There's a link on how you can pick up that book. It's a great tribute to seniors. And I tell you, we cannot forget about the greatest generation. They contributed so much to us. Michael, how can people get a hold of you and learn more, how they can bring you in to educate them, and also if those that want to get into this product, how can they get a hold of you? Michael? Did we lose Michael? Well, I'll tell you, you can get a hold of Michael by getting a hold of us. His connection, his information is on the website. I think for some reason he just dropped off. Hate it when that happens. But anyway, there he is. He's back. Let's bring the mic. Hate that when it happens, Mike. What? How can people get a hold of you? I got to go to the exit.
Okay, quick. Please contact me at mbanner, that's B-A-N-N-E-R, at S as in Sam, the number one, L as in Larry.com. I'd be glad to send you to our website, to our school, which is www.americanceinstitute.com. But contact me and I can get you in touch with these education people and get the classes that these people need and direct you to hopefully buy the book. And thank you, David,
thank you
so much. It's always such a pleasure.
Good to have you, Michael. Sorry we've got to exit. Thank you, folks. Have a great week, and we look forward to talking to you next
this
week.
This has been Lickin on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lickin of Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. Today's guests were Joe Farr from MBS Quoteline, Andy Schell of Mortgage Banking Solutions, and Alice Alvey, President CMB of Mortgage U. Come by next week, and thank you for listening.